Let's look at 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. This has already been referenced tonight, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel and chapter 16. So I want to encourage you. I don't know if you've ever heard of the term self-talk. Psychologists will use it, and it is something that is certainly true. It is how we talk to ourselves. And many people are very unkind to themselves. They say negative things. And the truth of the matter is, because we deserve some negative things, we've done negative things, but if we're not careful as believers, Jeff referenced all of these people with mental instability and depression. If we're not careful, we as believers are no different than the lost world when it comes to our mind and when it comes to how we treat ourselves mentally. And some would say, well, we don't want to, you know, puff up ourselves. No, that's true. We don't. And my flesh, I'm not worthy of anything. But if I'm not careful, I will actually prevent the peace of God to rule in my heart by my negative self-talk. And so I want to talk to you tonight about how to encourage yourself. How to encourage yourself. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And David was greatly distressed. You notice D-I at the beginning, E-D at the end. What's in the middle? Stress. There it is. Some stress is natural. We're meant to handle some stress, but when you're greatly distressed, that's when it leads to very difficult mental battles, and then you take it out on other people. But watch this. David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people spake of stoning him. This is Ziklag, remember? All the family has been taken away, and the houses are burned with fire. All the possessions are gone. And now the people that he has been leading are speaking of stoning him. Why? Notice the reason. They didn't hate David because the soul of all the people was grieved. Something to keep in mind when people are mad at you or upset at you. There's a reason why. And here it was because their soul was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. But is the turning point. He could have lived in denial. He could have reacted in rage. He could have decided to unload on the people around him. He could have fallen into depression, despondency. He could have just sat there waiting on God to fix it all and help him. But David encouraged himself. He took personal ownership. In this critical hour of need, God did not encourage him. When's God going to encourage me? When's God going to fix it for me? When is God going to step down with his power? He's got so much power. He has so much at his disposal. Why does he not come and do this? And you know, that's the reason why many of us sit there with our negative self-talk and cycle down, spiral further and further down, just like every other lost person on your block. The difference is they don't have the Son of God, Jesus Christ, inside. And here's the crazy thing. David didn't have the new nature either. He had the Holy Spirit, but he had not been born again. This is something that God has done since Calvary. But watch what David did. He encouraged himself. Now, let's look at Psalm 16. And before we go into this, let me read a verse from 120, but we're going to read Psalm 16 in a moment. 120, verse 1. Here's what David said. In my distress, David was greatly distressed. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now, we know that we're supposed to cry to God, and we do. But here's something that's a little different. David talked to himself and encouraged himself in the Lord. David here takes personal ownership and makes an investment in his God. and says, I am going to do this myself. Now, this is hard for us to do. Because if you're like me, the negative self-talk would say, listen, God, why don't you trust God? Well, it's because you're not a good enough Christian. If you had more faith, God would be able to do miracles in your life. But you're not, and even your Christian self-talk can get you in trouble. David said, I cried unto the Lord, but here's how to encourage yourself. David's going to talk to his soul in these verses that we'll read. First of all, Psalm 16, verse 2. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. So I'm going to tell you how to encourage yourself. Number one, tell yourself to choose God and to be kind to the saints. You see what he says in verse 2? O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Tell yourself to choose God. And then he said, my goodness extendeth not to thee. This is David talking to God. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. He's saying, look, I'm not the only person around. You're my God, and my life and my actions affect other people, and I am going to be good to the people around me. This is how you encourage yourself. We heard that tonight. To be an encouragement, to be encouraged, encourage. Here he is standing amidst the smoking ruins of his life. And you know what he said? The Lord still loves me and I love him. David encouraged himself. In the Lord. You have to, number one, realize when you're in real sorrow, the first step towards comfort is to feel that it has to come from God. Hey, listen, David. David's talking to himself. David, my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Remember, you said he was your God. This is David talking to himself. David, you said he was your God. Is he or not? You know, sometimes we have to talk to ourselves this way. The Lord, that's capital L-O-R-D, that's Jehovah. The self-existent, everlasting, unchangeable, unlimited, all-sufficient God. And notice, it wasn't just the Lord, it was the Lord, his God, a personal connection. David said, I thought he was your God. I thought when you prayed, he was, you could say, our Father, which art in heaven. David, is he your God or not? If he's your God, do other people know that he's your God? When they're watching you, can they see how you act? Oh, Dad's having a bad day. How many bad days is Dad allowed to have before he's not really living like a Christian? How many bad days is Grandma allowed to enjoy before she can't really claim to know Christ, who said, the joy of the Lord is our strength? And I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to myself. We've got to talk to ourselves this way. Well, I just need somebody to comfort me. David didn't have anyone to comfort him. His family was gone. The Abiathar, the priest, was there, but he wasn't talking to David. And David wasn't talking to him. He didn't have his men were mad at him. And so what did David do? God himself didn't encourage him. David encouraged himself in God. Now, what does that mean? I'm not saying God didn't want to encourage him. I'm saying that he didn't wait for God to make it all better. He came and gave a sacrifice of praise. Now, let's look at chapter 42. Chapter 42. Here's what you do when you're encouraging yourself. This is how you do it. Number one, tell yourself to choose God. Number two, verse 42:5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Number two, ask yourself questions and tell yourself to hope. Ask yourself questions. I don't know about you. When I'm having a rough time, I don't want it to change. I want to hurt until somebody makes it all better. David did not wait until someone made it all better to encourage himself. How did he encourage himself? Literally, this is David talking in the Psalms, and this is what he did to encourage himself. He said, "Why are you cast down? Why is your soul disquieted? David, hey, David, look at me." You ever wish somebody would give you, you're looking for a certain kind of counsel, and you're looking in vain because no one will say it the way you want them to say it? You ever had that? How about this? Say it to yourself. Go to the mirror and preach a message to yourself. Here, David is asking himself, "Why? What is your problem, David?" "Well, don't you know how much it hurts?" David said, "I don't care how much it hurts, David. But I've lost everything." "You haven't lost God, David." He's looking at himself. "Well, I couldn't handle if someone talked." Here's the sad thing. You couldn't handle yourself talking to yourself about that. If you can't handle yourself talking to yourself, there's no hope. David turns the guns on himself and says, "All right, listen, Buster. Why are you acting this way? What's your problem?" And then he says, "Hope, David, hope." He's putting his finger in his own face saying, "You need to buck up and hope in God." Well, sometimes life is rough. I think David knew that. I think he knew that probably more than all of us tonight. And yet he told himself, you need to ask yourself these questions and you need to hope in God. Let's look at Psalm 62. In 1 Samuel, we're looking in there at 1 Samuel 30, but in chapter 27, David said, this was when Saul was chasing him forever and he couldn't get away. He said this. This is part of the reason that David was in the mess that he was in. Because David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." So David said, "My life is, you know what? I know what I need to do. I need to go in the land of Philistines." He did not ask God. He did not wait on God. He believed that Saul was going to kill him, even though God had delivered him over and over and over and over again. So he got to a point where he said, "You know what? I'm going to solve this thing myself." And he went into the land of the Philistines. And he didn't ask God. He just decided that's the best thing to do. But now, here after Ziklag, David starts asking questions again. And he said, "Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake?" He's asking. He's waiting on God. And here's what Psalm 62 says. Here's what David told himself. Because I'm just telling these verses because David encouraged himself in the Lord. And I'm looking, how did he encourage himself? Just encourage yourself. Just have more courage. Which, you know, courage is strengthening of the heart. Just be stronger, heart. Well, yes, but sometimes I need a little more detail. Here's how David did it. He told himself, verse number 5, "My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him." Well, what are we waiting around for? David said, "David, listen, hey, you're waiting on God. What you want in your life, what you think needs to happen, is going to come from God." David's telling himself this. His wife wasn't there to tell him. Wives seem like they're always there to tell us something. And they're a big help. They're a huge help. But in this case, David would have loved to hear his wife tell him something. "Honey, what am I supposed to do?" In his case, he had multiple options there to choose from. "Sweethearts, what should I do?" But he didn't. No one was there. So what did he do? He told himself, "Here's what you do, David. You wait on the Lord." Look at verse 8. "Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." You say, "I wish I had a friend around that could help me, that could encourage me." You might be the friend that you need if you would buck up and tell yourself what you need to hear. You know the reason why Kathy was able to survive just living with Ed, for one thing, besides, you know, all the rest of it. You know the reason why? It's because her mom taught her, gave her a tool when she was little. And the tool was, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. You know what that did for her?
I remember she telling me the story. I love it. I always tell it because it just cracks me up. She said, I'd say, Mama, I'm thirsty. And she'd say, drink your spit. She said, rich man in hell wanted water. He didn't get none. I mean, that's my kind of mom right there. That's get the job done. That's rough. But you know what she did? She gave her the tool that said, stop feeling sorry for yourself. You're not a victim. Get out there and do it. And she did. And she's still doing it. Okay, you know the reason why we get stuck in our little hovel? And our little cave? A little warren where a rabbit lives? We tuck ourselves down in there and stay warm and cozy. You know why? Because you're a victim. Because it's not fair what happened to you. Because everybody else has it better than you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to put on your drill instructor hat and get in your own face and say, we're moving forward for God. You're not going to sit here and feel sorry for yourself. You're going to get up and do something with what God's given you. Well, no one can talk to me like that. Not even yourself. Maybe yourself is the real person that needs to say it to you. You know, I'll be honest, sometimes it's easy for me to just lean on my wife and, honey, what do you think? I'm not feeling good. Right? Some of you have kids that get in your face and you're like, I need that kid around because they tell. At some point, you've got to be able to stand on your own 2 feet and look yourself in the mirror and tell yourself what David told himself. My soul, wait. Wait. I don't want to wait. I don't care what you want to do, David. Can you imagine when he's in a conversation? I don't care. Well, you know what? I don't have to listen to you. Yeah, you do. I'm going to be with you. No, I'm not going to listen to you. Sometimes you feel like you're going crazy, don't you? But I'll tell you, that's what you need. You need to tell yourself what is true in God's word, whether you like it or not. Think of yourself saying what you would say if you were not feeling sorry for yourself and you were someone else. What would you say to that person? Well, I would first want to be very kind and gentle. You tried that. It didn't last, did it? Well, I would first say, you know, the grace of God. Well, of course, of course. I'm not saying be mean to yourself. I'm saying encourage yourself. I'm not saying be a jerk. I'm saying have courage in your heart. How do you give yourself courage? This is how you give yourself courage. Now, look at chapter 103. 103. Chapter 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here's the next point. Tell yourself to bless the Lord and don't forget how he's blessed you. This is how you encourage yourself. You tell yourself to bless the Lord. Well, I feel like a fake. Would you rather be a depressed egomaniac sitting around in a corner somewhere or fake praising God? Well, I don't think I want to make that choice. Okay, then you can be depressed for the rest of your life. You can stay under the bridge and say, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And you're the winner. You're the hero of the story because nobody's ever had it worse, which means nobody's ever been a greater victim than you, which means you're the hero, right? Isn't that what American society is being told today? The heroes are the victims. And so what David said here, oh, hey, soul, wake up. Stop. Hey, turn the phone off for a second. Soul, put the phone down. Stop listening to the radio. Stop worrying about your next cup of coffee. Sit down and listen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Do it right now. You can't make me. No, I can make you. I'm going to stand right here until you do it. Well, I don't want to be a fake. Do it. Bless the Lord. Tell him that he's worthy of praise, even though your flesh doesn't think he is. And I wonder where that came from. He is worthy of praise. And oh, and by the way, forget not all his benefits. Look at all he's done for you. Well, he hasn't done anything for me lately. So I guess that means he's not really God. It's not, he's not really worthy of praise. He was worthy of praise back then when he did those amazing things, when he saved your soul, and when he kept your little girl from dying, and when he got you that job, and when you got a new car that actually didn't fall apart when you drove it, and when you were able to get that new promotion at work, and when you led your first soul to Christ. He was worthy of praise all along the way. But somehow now, he's no longer my God. Hey, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And what's amazing about this is not me telling you to bless the Lord. It's me telling myself to bless the Lord. And forget not. You know what David started thinking about? He started thinking about how God chose him. God chose him out of obscurity. And how Samuel came and picked him out of all of his brothers. He started thinking about how Samuel anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And there was no reason for him to do that. He was not the one that people thought would win and would be a great hero. And he started thinking about the deliverances that he had experienced and how he felt when he stepped out and realized, okay, Goliath is actually really big. And I thought it was a great idea, but now I've got to do this thing. And how God brought him through that. And he thought about how he was being pressured by the king and by others around, and yet God had delivered him and delivered him and delivered him and delivered him. And he looks down at his hand and says, I still got both my hands. And he looks down, I still got both my feet. And he takes a breath and he goes, I still got two lungs. And I got two eyes. And I got two ears. He's like, and I got still most of my hair left from the battle. God's been good to me. It's time for me to get up and do something else for God. When the present is killing you, review what God has done to bring you here. When your future is too scary to think about, review your personal history. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Look at Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Verse number 7. Here's one that you might need. Tell yourself to rest. Tell yourself to rest. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. You're overwrought. This generation would say, you're freaking out. Okay? Tell yourself, go lay down and stop. I tell the story sometimes about my mom when I was just a little kid, and I asked, I heard my sisters and mom talking about back problems that could happen as a result of sleeping incorrectly on a bed. And I was worried about this. I said, is it going to happen to me? I'm thinking, am I going to have back problems? You know, I'm 7 years old. And I asked mom, I said, Mom, am I going to have back problems? She said, go to sleep. And it was like, I don't have to worry about back problems. I just have to go to sleep. You know, that's what you need to tell yourself. Stop. Go to sleep. Rest. Rest. Well, I don't listen to myself. You're such a rebel that you won't listen to anybody, even yourself, who you like so much. Hey, if you know you're telling the truth, you know, it doesn't start with this. It starts with bless the Lord. It starts with praising the Lord. It starts with thou art my God. That's where it starts. But there comes a point when you have to tell yourself, this is what you need to do for your health. And I know you could smoke the whole pack, but you need to stop. You could eat the whole bag, but you should not. Stop. I know you could watch the rest of the series right now, but you shouldn't. Stop. Go rest. Think about, who was it talked about, Brother Gary, about putting it in the box, put it on the shelf? So you need to tell yourself, I'm not thinking about that now. Well, I just want to. And you know what? Your spouse can't make you, can they? They try. You know what they do? They hotwire. They go around you. They figure out how to live their life without you because you're miserable. Hey, listen, your responsibility is to tell yourself what to do. Someone said that's what character is, parenting yourself. Tell yourself to rest. One more tonight, and it's in Psalm 146. 146.
This is kind of the crowning jewel. And as far as I can tell in Scripture, there's no other places where my soul is specifically used in reference to oneself. But in the Psalms, over and over, David talks to himself. Psalm 146:1, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Here, David tells himself to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. This is what you're going to do.
Right.
Why? Because he's my God, and he's been good to me, and he has provided for me, and he has given me some of a reason to hope. He has brought so many benefits to my life, and if he never gives me anything good again, he's worthy of my praise. Tell yourself to praise God. Well, I don't want to be fake. You're fake about everything else. Right? I mean, how many times have you watched something that you weren't really interested in, but you just watched it because it was there? How many times have you ever eaten something that really didn't taste that good, but it was there, you just eat it? Hey, how about just praising God, whether you really want to or not? And as you do that, as you praise God, your mind starts calibrating. Oh, I guess you're making us do this, aren't you? You bet, so. You bet I am. We're getting locked into this thing. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when David, here's the thing that's amazing. When David got finished encouraging himself in the Lord, what had changed? Nothing. Nothing had changed except for David's awareness of God and his desire to seek him. Nothing had changed except now David was encouraged when looking at his circumstances. And when he was encouraged, he called for Abiathar and said, bring the ephod. I'm going to talk to God and ask him questions. Shall I pursue? Shall I overtake? He asked those two questions. And God said, go. You're going to overtake and you're going to find him and recover everything. And here's the thing that's interesting. David never would have had the strength to pray that prayer or even ask God with desire for that victory if he had not first encouraged himself in the Lord. You know, some of your greatest prayers are yet ahead. You're going to pray in faith. You're not just going to say, well, God can do whatever he wants. Yeah, I know that. That's understood. But God wants to work through prayer. And he wants you to pray prayers of faith. But you can't do it unless you believe God can do it. You can't pray a prayer of faith unless you're encouraged about God himself. Unless you really believe God wants to bless you, and God wants to be praised, and God wants to work in your life. And when you do that, then you can start making those prayers that are prayers of faith. 1 Samuel tells us that David recovered all. He lost it all, and he recovered it all. And David gave the praise to God because he said, ye shall not do so, my brethren, when the guys were wanting to split up the spoil. He said, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. That's what he could say after. But David had to start way back when, before the thing ever happened, before there was any deliverance, salvation, before there was any recovery. He had to start right here and say, God, you're capable of doing all these things because you're a good God. I love you. I'm following you. I'm praising you. I am going to have hope in my heart towards you, whether or not you ever do anything. And you'll find it true that when you can say that, then God can spark a little flame of hope in your heart where you can begin to pray these prayers of faith. And God will bring that victory. Now, I don't know if you'll recover all. That's on God. But I know this. You'll be able to look back on it and say, God did that in my life. That's our lesson for tonight.